Good morning. It is good to see everybody here, and what a beautiful and blessed day it is. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, and when you get to there, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. Galatians 3, verse 27. Now, I put in here the New American Standard, but at the last moment, I switched to King James this morning because it really worded this good. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for the reading of your Word. God, today, we need to put on Christ. We need to be the kind of creatures, new creatures in Christ. We need to be ones who are making a difference in the world. And we pray, God, that today you will give us the boldness to do just that. Father, we pray, Lord, as I preach this message, that, Father, everything will come from you through your Holy Spirit. And God, we give you the honor and the glory and all of the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want you to think about this very carefully this morning. Your identity. Now, I'm not talking about the name that your mom and dad gave you at birth. That's not what I'm talking about. You as a Christian have an identity. And your identity is found in no other place but in Christ Jesus. And that means that believers who have been baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. That signifies a spiritual union and your new identity in Him. Being clothed symbolizes being covered by Christ's righteousness. It's a gift that is received through salvation, through faith and believing. It represents a transformation where sin is cast off and a new righteous nature has been adopted. You and I are clothed as Christians with the character of Christ, and we are living a brand new life that should reflect Jesus. Now, your old person, the old you, was a sinner. It's somebody that was full of darkness, full of hate, ugliness. There was no good fruit being bared in your life. And that life, that's who you once were. And I want to use this little illustration to bring this point about. How many of you have ever watched a show on TV where somebody does renewal of furniture and they'll have the ugliest looking piece of furniture sitting there and they'll show you what it used to look like? They'll show up pictures or put up video, whatever, and all you see is something, and you sit there and look at it on TV and you're going, man, that's the ugliest thing I ever seen. And you know, that reflects your life. If you as a creature in Christ can look at your old life, you should be able to say, man, I used to live like that. What a hideous character I once had. How ugly my life used to be. But in those shows, you'll watch for either a half an hour or an hour the magnificent transformation that person does. And I'll tell you this. Now, Janine has done a lot of this within our home. She'll go to a yard sale or something somewhere. She'll bring something home, and I'm looking at it going, ooh, what is that? And she'll say, well, this is what I've got in mind. But here's the thing. Janine starts giving me a picture of what she is already seeing. And when she gets done with it, it's truly amazing and beautiful. And that's what it's like being baptized in Christ Jesus. Your old man, the old sinful nature, has been washed away by the blood of Jesus, and now you have a brand new identity. Donnie Colson told me the night that he got saved, he said he had been out drinking, and he said, I was just not feeling myself. He said, I knew that I had to get right with the Lord. He said, I had a praying mama at home that prayed for her sons all the time. And he said, I know that my mom was praying for me that night. He said, I walked into this church. I sat in a pew. And he said, when the preacher gave the invitation, he said, I was so compelled and propelled to basically run to the altar. And he said, I fell at the altar. And he said, I poured my heart out before the Lord Jesus. He said, I didn't want to be Donnie Colson anymore. He said, I didn't want to be what the community of Heron once knew me as. And Donnie Colson told me this. He said, Jim, when I got saved, he said, I got up and he said, I felt happy for the first time in my life. He said, I had a real joy. He said, the hand of God came down upon me, and he said, it touched my life, and he said, I was seeing the beauty that before I saw darkness, and he gave me this word, and I believe that this happened. He said, as I was leaving the church house that night, he said, I saw the old me still sitting in the pew where I came in. And he said, the old me was going, please take me back. You need me. How many of you have ever had the devil come against you like that? You have become a new creature in Christ. So the old things are passed away. Your life is no longer filled with darkness. Your heart is not black. When you had that encounter with Jesus Christ, he took your heart, that old stony heart, and he reconditioned it. He gave you a heart of flesh. He gave you a reason to be happy. He gave you a reason to live. The blood of Christ brought us righteousness, and it was through faith, it was through believing and salvation that you are who you are today. And I want to stress something. I hear a lot of Christians say, well, I try to live that kind of good life, but you don't understand how hard it is. Well, let me tell you something. I want to say this. I ain't judging nobody, but I feel like that's a cop-out. I feel like that's a cop-out when people say that. That's a pitiful excuse, because Christ has given you a power. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit came to live and dwell within your body. So we should not be the type of Christian people that sit around twiddling our thumbs going, well, I'd like to live a victorious life. I would like to witness. I'd like to teach. I'd like to go to church. I'd like to make a difference. But it's just too difficult. Baloney. It's pure baloney. I'd like to say it's pure bull too, because that's what it is. If you have become a new creature in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit working within you. And with the Holy Spirit working in your life, the Holy Spirit gives you the strength. If Christ died on the cross, which he did, if he rose from the dead on the third day by God's power, then that power was transferred from him to us through the Holy Spirit. So we have no excuse for living the old ways. We have no reason to want to turn back and say, well, I think I'll just pick up old Jim and put him back on. I don't want that guy again. I don't want to go back to my old self. Now, I'm telling you, we all have flaws. We all have failures, but that's not what you're supposed to live by. And I hear too many Christian people today, well, I'd like to change, but this is how I was raised. Or you don't know what I'm going through right now. You don't know the circumstances of my life. Well, I may not understand the depth of some of people's struggles and trials, but I'll tell you this. If the Lord is your Savior and He is your King, then your life ought to be reflecting it. There should be a showing of a light that reflects from you. Beforehand, there was darkness. And nobody else could really recognize that because you were just a part of the crowd. Well, I tell you this, since Christ came into my heart and life, I don't want to be a part of the crowd. And yeah, I fight and I struggle with things in the flesh, as every Christian does, but I make it a point to ask the Lord to forgive me and to renew my mind, to renew my heart, and to help me to be strengthened in the areas where I'm weak. Because my heart's desire is to serve the Lord. My heart's desire is to witness. And I don't have a problem going up and talking to people and witnessing. Now, yesterday morning, I went down to Vienna. I was helping a friend with one of the races down there. But I walked in just to grab a quick breakfast. And I heard these men over at the side talking. And I heard some profanity going on. And all that. Well, I know there's probably a lot of Christians who've never used profanity, but I know some of these men sitting over there, a couple of them, I knew them, had been to church and stuff, but I'm not judging, but here's what I'm saying. I walked past them, good morning, gentlemen, how are you today? And they said, oh, we're fine. And I said, how are you? And I said, man, I'm blessed. Here it is, you know, it's about 6:30 in the morning, it's real early. But if we let our light shine before the darkness of the world, then they're going to see it. And I tried to make my light shine before these men. I tried to be a witness to them. But then I got to talking to them after I finished my breakfast and found out some of them knew my dad. Some of them know our son, Brad. And they know my brother. So we got to talking, but I got them off the subjects they were currently discussing, which was a bunch of negative, and we were starting to talk about good. See, and that's what your life is about in Christ. When you go before people, they ought to see a light coming forth from you, not a light that you generate, but it's a light that you receive from God the Father. When He puts His light inside of you, I'm telling you what, people should know you are a Christian. They should know that you're a Christian by our love. They should know you're a Christian by your witness and how you speak and how you conduct yourself. I talked to a friend of mine years ago. He said, you know what? I got saved. And he said, the hardest thing for me, I was working in the coal mines. And he said, man, them guys would get down there and they'd start telling the dirty jokes and they'd start talking bad about their wives and their family. And he said, I'd find myself right back in that. And he said, boy, what a struggle it was. And he said, I fought that. And he said, I used to think, well, I'm not a good Christian at all. And he said, finally, one day I realized I've got to be the one who makes the difference in my workplace. And he said, I would go down there. And he said, those guys were going, Delbert, well, why don't you come in and join on the conversation? He'd say, no, thanks. I got work needs to be done. I want to say something to you right now. The devil's going to come at you and the devil's going to say, hey, pick up your old character, pick up your old man, pick up who you used to be and come and join this crowd because this is where you belong. And that's a lie straight from the pits of hell. We should be the type of people who refuse to give in to the ways of the enemy. And we should be the ones who are saying, there is a work to be done. I have a gospel message to proclaim to the lost, and I'm going to go do what God wants me to do. See, you have to separate yourself from the darkness. We, as Christian people, the Bible says that fellowship in darkness, they don't belong together. There is no fellowship there. There is no unity between light and darkness. Jesus says that you have to love one master and hate the other. So you either have to love the Lord or you have to love the devil. You cannot stand around and say that I am a Christian and then go run with the devil throughout the week, letting him lead your life, because then you're lying to the entire world. If we are Christian people, then folks will know by how we live our lives. And I don't want you to look at your flaws. I don't want you to look at how you were raised. I want you to look this morning at what Christ did on Calvary. He took up our iniquity. He took up our sin. He bore our wounds on the cross. And why? For what reason? So that you would have life, and that you would have life, how much? Abundantly. That's what he's wanting. Now I'm going to get into the message. It's a spiritual union we have. To be baptized into Christ, it's a spiritual event, a spiritual transformation. It's nothing of our flesh. When we are immersed into that new identity with Christ, an event that can be understood as occurring simultaneously with faith in him. That's who your identity is. Your identity is in Christ. So when people ask you who you are, you should tell them, I'm a child of the King. I belong to Jesus. And if you're going to church on Sunday and proclaiming that, then you ought to take it to the workplace. You ought to take it to the grocery store. You ought to let your light shine before men. But it's a spiritual thing that happens. See, we need to be saved, and we need to get our lives and our hearts right before the Lord. We have to forget about the old man and the sinful nature of the flesh. Now, I preached about that last Sunday. Paul had that trouble. Paul said, I do the things that I don't want to do, and I'm not doing the things that I should be doing. Basically meaning he was having the fleshly battles. So I want to tell you this. Don't think that you're incapable of living your life for Christ because you're having the flaws and the fight with the flesh. See, we fight a battle, and our battle is not against the flesh, but our battle, it's a spiritual war. You can't see it with the naked eye. You can't see it with the human eye. But if we could see the things out in the spirit world, and there is a spiritual realm out there, and let me tell you, if you could see the angels that are fighting the enemy on your behalf, I think we would live our lives a whole lot different, don't you? I really do believe that. And that's why Christ put us here. Christ put us here to deliver a message, to tell people who we are. You know, when Jesus went and taught, now not everybody received him. How many people rejected him? How many people threatened to kill him? And then eventually they did. But he had to die so that you and I would live. Now, I get a lot of gifts. I get gifts throughout the year on my birthday to Christmas time. But there ain't no better gift than what Jesus did for me on the cross. The old things have been passed away, and all things become new. So what you do, you don't pack your old life in a box and put a lid on it and then think, well, I'll go back later. How many of you ever do that? You put stuff in a box, put a lid on it, or you put it in a chest, and then every now and then you go back and mingle through it. You mingle through your past and look at pictures. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with going back and looking at pictures and reliving good memories. But there's a problem when you keep your old sinful life, you keep it hidden and tucked away, and then every now and then you say, well, I think I'll go back and visit what I used to do. That ain't going to gain you anything. That's going to lead to eventual death in your spiritual life. Because the longer we continue to walk in sin, it brings about death. And I want to say this. We have God's grace and mercy and his love and his forgiveness. But the Bible specifically warns us that if we continue to walk in the flesh, if we continue to live in sin, and there's a lot of sin out there, if that's the life we choose, we will not get into heaven. We won't. Because if you're choosing to live in sin, if you're still clothing yourself in that darkness, in that yuck, then you're not going to produce any fruit. And you know what Jesus says about a tree that doesn't produce fruit? Well, it's going to have dead branches and vines. And you know what happens to a dead branch and vine? You cut that thing off, You throw it in a pile and you light a fire to it. And I want to tell you this, that's always a very strong reminder to me when I prune our trees on our acreage. I'll prune a bunch of trees, or we'll pick up sticks and limbs that got blowed down. We put them in a big pile, and I'm thinking, man, that used to be part of a beautiful tree, and now look at it. It's an old dead branch. I want you to look at your life that way. Your life can produce good fruit, but it's up to you. It's up to you if you want to go to heaven. And if you want to go to heaven, then you're going to have to walk with the Lord. You're going to have to be committed. And I talked about commitment last Sunday in the message. Paul was committed upon his conversion, even though he had battles. See, Paul came before God and he said, I want you to remove, you know, this thorn from my side. And he wasn't talking about a literal thorn off of a tree or a bush. How many of you have ever had a thorn get in you? I got a hold of a couple of those one time. That doesn't feel very good. But that's not what Paul was talking about. Paul was going through some distressing times, and he was basically wanting God to remove it from him. And God didn't. You know what God said to Paul? He said, my grace is sufficient for you. So that's what we need to be telling ourselves. Well, Jim, God's grace, it's sufficient for me. So I've got this life to live. Well, I can't do it on my own, but his grace will carry me through it. Yeah, I might get aggravated, and yeah, I might, you know, get mad at somebody or whatever. There's going to be problems in the flesh, but I'll submit them to the Lord, and I'll say, Father, your grace will get me through it. You're walking with me. I tell you what, ever since a new life with Jesus, I sure don't want to go back to that. I don't want to go back to what I was known as. You know, when I weighed, I weighed close to about 320 pounds. I got a picture to prove it on my phone. Now I go back and look at that thing because I always remind myself when I want to go to the buffets a lot, and that's what happened. I was a pastoring and the other preacher buddies of mine said, Brother Jim, let's go to the buffet for lunch. All right, let's go to the buffet tomorrow for breakfast. Okay. And then the Schwann's truck would come by the house and he would open up them doors and throw that catalog in front of me and say, is there anything you see you like? Yes, sir. Give me about two of each kind of these things here and there and there. And then I'd go in the house and I'd sit in there and I'd ingest all that nasty bad food and desserts. And then I went to the doctor and I said, I don't know why, but man, I'm putting weight on. And he says, well, have you done anything different? No. I didn't tell him I was eating all the time and that I was eating unhealthy. But see, it came to a point where I got sick of looking at the guy in the mirror. I got sick of how I felt and how I looked. And I got sick of going to the doctor all the time. I got sick of taking 8 different medications. And when I finally got, it finally took a lab report for me to kick it in gear and turn things around. I didn't want to be that guy. And I tell you what, I thank the Lord that I lost all that weight. I thank the Lord for it. Now, do I still struggle with some wanting the sweets now and then? Yeah, but I don't eat them all the time, do I, dear? My wife can tell you, I like when she'll make dessert. And yeah, I'll have some of it, but I don't gorge on it like I used to. So see, I know what that old guy used to be like. I don't want him back. I like the way I feel. Do I get sick? Yeah. Do I get a cold? Yeah. Sinus infection? Yeah. And maybe there's days I don't have enough energy. But here's what gets me through it. I eat good. I do the right things. And I feel better. Same way in the Christian life. I stay away from what corrupted me. And I don't want any part of it. And I sure don't want any part of the old friends I had. So I surround myself with the things of the Lord. And you know what? When he changed my life, when he took all that bad out, when he transformed me into something new, I said, now, Lord, you take this possibility and you do with it what you need to do. And look where he put me. He put me in a pulpit.
Your new identity, it's an outward sign. Now, I want to say this. I want all, even myself, listen to this carefully. It has to be a reality. It has to be a real thing. When you get saved, you act different. You talk different. You love others. You will do acts of hospitality. You will pray for others. You will read your Bible. You will develop a committed prayer life. And you will be devoted to Christ in all areas of your life. That's what will happen when you become a Christian. People will see it. People will see it. It's a change on the inside, but it also reflects on the outward parts. But other people will notice it, and we have to be the example. How are we going to reach a lost world if we are not the example? See, we can stand around and say, well, I got time. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll call somebody tomorrow. I'll send a card tomorrow. I'll go visit tomorrow. I'll take that meal tomorrow. I'll go down and do activities at the nursing home, but I'll do it tomorrow. See, you can do a lot tomorrow, but why put off tomorrow? Why put everything off for tomorrow? You got today to do it. So here's what I want to challenge you with. I want to challenge you to stand right. Don't look at nobody else and say this is your identity. I want you to look at yourself right now and say, my identity is in Christ Jesus. Now, examine your heart. If you actually could tell yourself, if I die right now, I'm not going to heaven, you need to get saved. Now, if you've got saved, you just ain't been living right. You've got to come to the Lord. You've got to make it right. But you got to make that choice. Nobody can make it for you. But listen to this. If you die right now without Jesus Christ, and if you're living a life of sin, and you've just kind of kicked him to the curb, and you die right now, you've already paved your way. Wide is that road that leads to destruction. So I want to go through the narrow gate. I want to walk that narrow path that's thorny and rocky. I want to go the right way with the Lord. How about you?